You know, when that deep dive request hit my desk, subject line, linked data, I gotta admit, wasn't really sure what I was getting into.
Yeah, bet.
Thinking spreadsheets, databases, the usual suspects. But digging into these articles, the research you sent.
Whole different ballgame, right?
Totally. It's like glimpsing this future where information itself, like, fundamentally changes.
It is amazing how all these sources, they connect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Each one's like a piece and you put them together. It's like this intricate web of data.
Okay, so before we go full on sci-fi, back up a sec. When we say data here, what are we really talking about?
At its core, data is basically a record of what we observe, how we see the world. And a lot of times, those observations, they're about relationships between things, right? Distinct, identifiable things. We call those entities.
So the Eiffel Tower is located in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Eiffel Tower, Entity 1, Paris, Entity 2 is located in, that's our relationship.
Nailed it. And those entities could be people, places, events, ideas, anything. Each one gets a unique identifier, digital fingerprint, so we're all on the same page.
Makes sense. And those identifiers, they're what lets us link things up, right? Like taking the hyperlink idea, but way bigger.
Exactly. That is the beauty of linked data. Hyperlinks, they changed how we use the web. Now, we're doing that with the information itself, not just documents, but the actual data points. A web of data mirroring how the real world works.
Okay, so this is where Tim Berners-Lee comes in, right? This is our World Wide Web himself. He's got these four principles for linked data. They're surprisingly clear, actually, but powerful. Yeah.
They build on each other really well. So first, everything needs a unique name, a URI, Uniform Resource Identifier. Like a web address, but for, well, anything. Universal identifier. So everyone's talking about the same concept.
And then use HTT URIs, which
that's
what makes it all online, right?
Yeah.
Anyone can look it up, basically.
Third principle. This is where it gets really interesting. You got to provide this information in a way that machines get it. That's where RDF and SparQL enter the picture. Like, languages specifically for computers to use with this linked data.
RDF, yeah, I've seen that before. Always seemed kind of intimidating, honestly.
Don't worry. Yeah. RDF, Resource Description Framework. It's just a way to structure data, right? Show those relationships in a way computers understand. Instead of, say, a web page about a data set, RDF could be like, this data set published by Eurostat, and link right to them. Much richer connection.
Ah, okay. So it's not just having the data, it's giving it context, relationships.
Exactly. Which leads us to SparQL. Query language, but for this kind of data, you can ask complex questions across this whole interconnected web, get specific answers back. Really powerful stuff.
And then principle four, that's the glue, linking. Connect data by using their URIs, building out that web, like hyperlinks on steroids.
And it's that web, that interconnectedness, that's where the potential is just enormous. Instead of all these separate data sets, we're heading towards this vast knowledge space.
So we've got this interconnected web of data that's already pretty wild, but then you toss in knowledge graphs and things get kind of mind-blowing, to be honest.
That's where it gets really interesting.
What are knowledge graphs? Like, how do they fit into all this?
Knowledge graphs. That's where the power of linked data really shines. All those principles, the URIs, relationships, the way it's all connected. It lets us create a structured representation of knowledge, like a map of information. Showing how everything's related.
Instead of, just a bunch of web pages about something, you'd see, I don't know, how historical events connect, who was involved, how they influenced each other.
Exactly. You're exploring a historical event. Right there, you see links to related ones, key figures, documents, all woven together. It deepens your understanding just by the way it's presented. And there's a real-world example of this, the LOD cloud, the linked open data cloud.
You did mention that earlier. Okay, so what is that? What makes it so important in all of this?
LO Cloud, it's massive.
Yeah.
Think data sets from all over. Government, science, culture,
you
name it. All openly available, all linked up using those principles we talked about. It's like a giant collaborative knowledge base, constantly growing.
So proof that linked data works, but on a huge scale, is it being used for anything, practical?
Oh, totally. This is way beyond a proof of concept. It's a testament to what linked data can do. Researchers, businesses, developers, they're all using it. New discoveries, insights from data. Innovative applications, for example, medicine, identifying possible drug interactions, relationships between diseases, genes, accelerating research in so many ways.
Wow, it's like actually making an impact already. And this ties into something else I saw in these sources, schema.org. Isn't that more of a website SEO kind of thing?
It is. And it's a perfect example of how linked data is quietly changing the web we use every day. Schema.org gives website owners a standard way to structure their data. using the exact same principles we've been talking about.
So by tagging their pages in a specific way, it's like turning their website into a mini knowledge graph.
Exactly. Google, instead of seeing just text and images, it sees data. Mm. Products, reviews, locations, all labeled interconnected. It's meaningful.
So better search results, websites are more visible, everybody wins.
It's even bigger than that. This structured data, it's used by tons of application services. The whole web becomes more semantically rich, more connected.
Wild. So we're already using linked data without even realizing it. But there's a but here, isn't there? These sources mention a sort of missing link in the whole vision.
You're picking up on it. See, the semantic web, which is what this was called early on, it's powerful, but user friendliness has always been a challenge. Machines get it, no problem. But how do we interact with it naturally?
Right. I saw stuff about those early attempts, CLIs, those command line interfaces, and GUIs, which is what we use now, but neither one really bridged the gap, did they?
Each had limitations. Mm. CLIs were powerful, but too much for most people. GUIs, more friendly, but hard to show that richness, the complexity within a knowledge graph. You can click links, but you can't really have a conversation with the data. And we needed that more natural way to interact.
We had the feast, so to speak, but no way to truly enjoy it. But then, as these sources point out, along came LLMs. LLMs, right? It's like they came out of nowhere. Suddenly we can talk to computers, almost. And they just get us. In a way, it feels like this is what linked data was waiting for.
It's pretty incredible, I have to admit. LLMs, they're that bridge between how we use language and that structured world of data. They can take our questions, our way of talking, and turn it into knowledge graph language. Mm. This whole web of info, it's accessible now in a way we couldn't have imagined just a few years back.
So instead of needing to code or click through a million menus, I just ask, plain English, what were the big economic things that caused the French Revolution? And the LLM goes and finds it from the LED cloud, other places, like having a conversation with the internet.
That's the dream, yeah. And we're seeing pieces of it already. But there's always a but. With any powerful tech, LLMs have this thing that can make stuff up. Hallucination, it's called.
Hallucination. So the LLM is like seeing things that aren't there.
Kind of. They're pattern recognizers at heart, right? Mm-hmm. Trained on tons of data, they spot the connections. Mm-hmm. But understanding, real human understanding of the info, that's different. So they can spit out stuff that sounds real, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
Or based on connections that don't hold up.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of unnerving. Because if we're going to use LLMs to tap into all this data, accuracy is everything. So how do we fix that?
I've written something in one of these papers. Retrieval augmented generation. REG.
That's supposed to help.
REG is very promising. It's all about combining the LLM, the language part, with curated knowledge.
Yeah.
Like those knowledge graphs. Instead of letting the LLM just riff, you give it solid info to work from.
So it's like giving it a fact checker. LLM still handles the conversation, but its answers are grounded in reality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The best of both worlds. LLMs get it right, and knowledge graphs, which were hard for most people to use directly. Suddenly, anyone can ask a question in plain language.
So the future is, anyone can tap into this knowledge. With just their voice, even, it's kind of a lot to take in.
It really is. Think about the possibilities. Students learning about history, researchers making connections across different fields, people understanding complex issues more deeply. It's about access to knowledge, empowering people.
It feels so close, and yet we're still just getting started. But it's clear, linked data plus LLMs, that's revolutionary. Not just how we access knowledge, but how we think, how we learn.
How we make decisions, even. It's a shift from those isolated islands of info to a world where it's all connected.
This deep dive has been quite the ride, honestly. We went from what is data to the future of knowledge itself, practically. And, you know, it's not just a tech thing. It's a fundamental shift.
From a jumble of facts to this tapestry of meaning, of connections. It's out there to explore.
And to you listening, that's our challenge to you. What will you explore? What connections are you going to make? What insights are you going to uncover? The journey's just beginning. Until next time on The Deep Dive, keep exploring.